born ineligible. Hallelujah. And meaningful. Amen. Praise God. And today we are doing something powerful which God wants us to do. And that is, we're not only worshiping God with our lives, with our heart, with our songs, with our praise, but we're going to worship God by giving Him the best that we have. Amen. All that belongs to us belongs to Him. And I want to give you the privilege this morning to give unto the Lord. Amen. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have you robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Therefore you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, and you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. What a privilege, what a promise, what a word. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wouldn't have the boldness to tell somebody in the face that you are a thief. But hallelujah, God says you are a thief and a robber if you do not bring your tithes and your offerings before God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We had a wonderful first service today. Hallelujah. We're going to have even much better second service today. Amen. Praise God. So today we're going to worship the Lord and we're going to take some time just to bring before God our offerings. So if you've got your offerings with you, you've got to give to the Lord and to His kingdom, you can take it in your hands now. We're going to say a word of prayer and then we're going to put all that we have to Jesus. I don't want anybody to give emotionally, out of any emotions are fine, you can give cheerfully to the Lord, but what I'm saying is, it's not an emotion-based giving that you do. It has to be a word-based, biblical-based. Are you with me? It has to be word-based. You have to know scripturally very well what is the blessing in store for you. God is not trying to rob of you. Actually, God is giving you a way to be blessed. So you need to understand it very scripturally, and then you need to give it from your heart. The Bible says, the cheerful giver. Hallelujah. That word that in 2 Corinthians, the one who is happy giving is laughing and smiling and saying, my best belongs to Jesus. That's a hilarious giver. That's the one whom God delights in. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is said that, you know, there were three people once who wanted to give unto God. Somebody asked them, how do you give unto God? How do you give? The first one said, well, the way I give is this. I draw a circle and I keep a bucket in front, in the middle of the circle. Then all the money that I have, I take it and I throw it up. The one that falls in the bucket, I give it to God. The one that falls outside, I take it and put it back in my pocket. Second one said, well, the way I give is this way. I keep the circle and keep the bucket and I throw it up. The money that I have, I throw it up. The money that falls outside the bucket, I give it to God. And the money that falls in the bucket, I take it back. Well, the third person said, this is the way that I give. I keep a circle, throw a circle, and keep the bucket in the middle. I take the money that I have, and I throw it up. The money that goes up goes to God, and the money that comes back, I take it back. Praise God. But the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 38 says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. Hallelujah. Give, the Lord Jesus saying, that's the words of the Lord Jesus. Give and it'll be given to you. This nation of India is going to come out of poverty if there are faithful believers in this nation. Hallelujah. We're going to stand and see the blessing of God release us forth into prosperity spiritually, financially, materially, in every way, because we have a God who delights in the prosperity of His servant. Amen. How many of you believe that this afternoon? Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what the word of the Lord says. So if you've got your offerings and your tithes with you, I want you to take it in your hand.
You know, before when I used to take tithe, and we have never done this year, 9 years of ministry, only 2 times have we taken offerings. We have never taken a tithe in this ministry. And then the Lord was correcting me and He was telling me so that the congregation might be blessed to give them the opportunity to sow when the anointing is flowing. When the worship is there and when the presence of God is thick, let them give so that the blessing of God will move upon them. I'm not the one who blesses you, but the Lord Himself will bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So if you've got your tithes and offerings, take it in your hand. Don't be ashamed of having your tithes and offerings in your hands. You're not giving it to a thief, you're giving it to Jesus. He didn't come to steal, but He came to bless. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to take our tithes and offerings in our hand. We're going to lift it up to the Lord. In prayer. Are you ready? Praise God. Are you ready? Amen. Praise God. Father, we want to thank You for this day. I want you to pray with me. Those of you who are praying in the Spirit, those of you who know what it means to give to the Lord, I want to pray in the Spirit and be happy about the whole thing. Hallelujah. Blessed be Your name. Father, we want to thank You this afternoon, Lord, for giving us the privilege and the grace to give into Your kingdom. I pray that You will bless each one of Your people, Lord, in this place, and that the blessings in Malachi 3 will come upon Your people, Lord, that the devourer will be, Lord, rebuked. And Lord, we pray that You will pour out the heavens, open the heavens and pour out Your blessings upon Your people, that they will have, Lord, an abundance upon every area of their lives. May they be called a delightful land, a land in which You delight in. And yes, Lord, may they find favor with You, and may Your hand move upon every situation upon their lives, removing them from every curse and releasing them under the blessing of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to take a song. And take a song. Worship. Please give it. Pass it around. You put your tithes there. Pass around. One at the top. Hallelujah. And worship the Lord. Put it in worship. Put it in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this afternoon. Praise God. Let's take our Bibles. Amen. Do you have the Bibles with you? Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm proud to belong to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name. We were having 3 days of fasting and prayer, and today is the final day. And usually for the second service, I thought it would only be the people who were there for 3 days of fasting, so we could have something powerful. So I had my mind all prepared up in some other way, and suddenly I find the Lord has gotten so many people today who are just walking for the first time, and I'm praising God for that. Hallelujah. Amen. God has got a plan. God loves you. He's brought you here. And so I said, Lord, what is the message that You want me to speak? Maybe I'll start with what I preached in the first service, and I pray the Holy Spirit will help me through to go into something very simple, but something that will be strong enough to get you through. Hallelujah. Stay faithful to God. Amen. The 5th chapter of Revelations and 6th verse. Are you awake and well? Praise God. Hallelujah. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. I'm going to speak to you today on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And the Bible says there in heaven, the vision of the Lamb of God having 7 horns, 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God. There are no 7 spirits. There is only 1 Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the number 7 denotes the perfection of the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
the perfect manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me today? The perfect manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible there says, the Spirit of God having seven eyes. It means He sees you no matter who you are, where you are sitting, what you're doing, what's happened in your life, what's happening in your life, what's going to happen. Everything from A to Z, God, the Holy Spirit knows. He's got perfect insight, perfect wisdom, perfect revelation to know who you are and where He wants to take you. In other words, He's in complete charge. And He sees you just the way you are. Remember this, the Father is in heaven. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But the one whom we have here is the Holy Ghost. And He's there. What would your life be without the Holy Spirit? Every time I say, Lord, whatever happens, please let me not have anything substituting ever in my life for You. I was a dry ground, but He made me fruitful because He began to move upon my life. You need that anointing of God. You need to know the Holy Spirit of God. And He will reveal Jesus to you. And He will reveal the work that God wants you to do. Amen. And that word says seven horns. Seven horns is symbolic of perfect power. Horns are symbolic of power. So the perfect power and authority of the Holy Spirit. If your preaching needs power, you need the Holy Spirit of God to work for you. When He doesn't show up, I can't even speak. We were having a, I still remember, Jerry was with me, we were having a program in Madras a long time back. I was so proud and I walked into the stage, the minister, about 350 people sitting in the congregation. And I said, here, some of them came and said, listen, we've come a long way to hear you preach. I said, praise God. With all my pride, I just went there and stood there. It's a night service, starting from 9 to early morning 4, all night prayer. I go in there to preach. I opened the Bible. I still remember the text. It was 1 Corinthians 10. And I thought I could preach. I started to read, and I couldn't even read those lines. People are looking at me. I'm trying to read. God said to Moses, everybody's amazed. And you know, just both of us were there, and nothing was coming out. So for some support, I turned around to look where Jerry is, and he's got this shocked look on his face. What is Pastor doing? I walked up to him and I said, son, you share your testimony. Let me go and pray. I'm feeling really terrible. Let me go and pray. But then I went and prayed and I said, Holy Spirit, please, I'm so sorry for my pride. Please forgive me. I came back into that pulpit and I shared, listen, I want to tell you, I'm really sorry. I was so proud. And I want to publicly say that I humble myself before the Lord. If He doesn't show up, there is nothing that we can have here. No meeting, no encouragement, no anointing, no release, nothing. The Holy Spirit of God has to show up. So please, I'm extremely sorry. I have said to the Lord, I'm sorry. And I humble myself before Him. But I want to acknowledge and tell before you that I was proud. And the minute I sat there and humbled myself in a prayer, suddenly, bam! And right there He showed up. There is no substitute for the anointing of God. You don't know what it feels when you go in to a connected ministry. There are so many people coming in with their needs, waiting for that one word that will set them free. You have to be so yielded unto God, and you have to be so yielded because the Holy Spirit of God is mighty to move and work and set free. And you've got to be so yielded so you will know what God is specifically saying, and you can minister that one word. Giving a lengthy discourse won't help somebody at that time. Sometimes all that you need to do is just be yielded and say one word which the Lord tells you to say, and that can bring in the healing, the deliverance, the liberty, the freedom, the faith, the anointing upon that person, and set that person completely free. I don't know whether you have tasted the anointing of God. Without the anointing of God, without the Holy Spirit of God, your life will be shallow. Your prayer life will be shallow. The other day somebody came and asked me, "Brother, I am having a small program, I mean a problem in my ministry." "What's the problem?" "A lot of persecution. And I'm so discouraged, I want to leave the ministry." I sat with him. "Why do you want to leave?" "I don't know how to handle this. And I'm so discouraged." And I said, "This is warfare. The enemy is all out to get you. There's only one thing that you need to do. You need to just go into the presence of God. Seek the face of Jesus and ask God to drop in that anointing on you. When that anointing of God comes, it's gone. Strength comes back. The enablement comes back. 9 years I thought many a time I would be finished. Not a single person to support outside. And I said, "Lord, how is it possible to handle a ministry? People are there, you know, just to point out the mistakes." I said, "Lord, how is it possible just to seek your face and just to stay on line, stay on course?" Lord said, "The difference is this. Don't allow anyone else or anything to substitute the place of the Holy Spirit. If that anointing lifts up, you're gone, you're finished." That's why every time I go coming for a ministry, every time I am anywhere, I'm so dependent on the Holy Spirit. Paul Yongicho used to say that when he stands in the church that he ministers in, he says he used to keep a chair by his side. He used to share and say, "This is the seat for the Holy Spirit." And so when he gets up to preach, he will say, "Holy Spirit, you take over. Let Jesus be glorified. If I keep a chair here, two more people won't be able to sit." So I say, "Holy Spirit, you know my heart. This is your ministry. Please glorify Jesus. Set somebody loose, set somebody free. Let them go back in grace and refreshed and set free." How many of you know that you can go out there, have all the fun that you want, just swim around in the world and come back? And when you come back here, you expect God to meet with you. You expect God to just speak that word. I've seldom seen people walk into this place to give God something. They've come just to receive. Just come to receive. Just to receive. And if that anointing doesn't show up, you're finished. And if you have to be set free, liberated, somebody has to stand in the gap. Ask God for that anointing, that freshness. How many of you with me today? Don't let anything or anyone substitute for the anointing of God. He is the perfect manifestation of God on earth. The perfect manifestation. He's the only one who can bring glory to Jesus. You know, I was praying on this year and saying, "Lord, what is next year going to be?" God gave me one clear word. He said, "All across the body of Christ, next year, you're going to see amazing signs, wonders, and miracles break out. Like nothing you have ever seen before. The city of Cochin is going to go through a revival. The fire of God is going to literally come down here. God is going to keep His servants. God is going to keep His men. And He's going to exalt His name through them." You're going to see that. Write it in your Bible. Next, you're going to see the anointing of God intensify. The Holy Spirit is going to minister forth in ways that we have never seen before. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Open with me to John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, which means house of mercy. having 5 pouches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Hallelujah, praise God. Amen. Here is a man lying in a good place, in a place of mercy. But there is nobody to show him mercy. He's been there 38 years, and every time an angel of God would come and stir up the waters, the first person to walk down that water would get healed. But there is not a single one to help him through. Not a single one to get him into that place where he can receive his healing or his miracle. Not a single person who is able to just help him through. In a place of mercy, he's lying there with nobody to show him mercy, and he cannot just get into that water when it is stirred up. By the time he stumbles and gets there, somebody else goes in. There are other people who have enough of friends to help them through, relatives to help them through, but this man has got no one. I don't know what you're going through, but maybe you might be here in this place of mercy, sitting here, and maybe nobody's showing you any mercy. Hallelujah. There might be just nobody to help you through with the difficulty that you're going. Maybe you're going through a crisis in your life. Maybe you're going through a crisis of faith. Maybe you're going through a problem. And there's just nobody who is willing to just step in, just take you by the hand and say, "Praise God, let me help you, brother, so you can receive your healing." That word healing comes from a word called shalom, which means wholeness, completeness. It means the perfection of God, which only the Holy Spirit can do in your lives. How many of you are with me today, please? And here is this man lying there with nobody to help him through. But I like this. See, Jesus came and saw him lying there. He was waiting for 38 years to have a miracle in his life, to have a healing. He was waiting there, you know why? Because he was always expecting an angel to do something for him. He was always looking to something which shouldn't be the object of his faith. The water to be stirred up and for him to move in there to receive. But Jesus shows up in that place and the Lord saw him. My brother, people might not recognize the problem that you're going through. People might not understand a single trial that you are in. They might not understand the anguish of your soul, nor the pain of your heart. They might not understand what you do in secret and cry over. But I've got some good news for you. The Lord saw. The Lord sees. And He cares. And He knows. The Lord knew this man had been in this condition. The Lord knew all the while this man had been in this condition. The Lord knew. Aren't you glad? If everybody should forget, if the Lord knows, that it's fine for me. Praise God. The times you're going through a struggle, you don't know what, maybe you struggle with sin, maybe a financial problem, maybe a relationship problem, and you're crying and sitting there hoping somebody will show you mercy, somebody will help you through, maybe some counselor will help you through. Maybe somebody will just walk with you. Nobody to show you mercy, but praise God, hallelujah. There is one who sees. There is one who understands. The one who knows. He knows. He saw. This is powerful. And the Lord is asking him, seeing that man had been in a condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Ninaka saukyamaganamo. Praise God. Do you want to be made well? You know what that question actually means? What God was asking him was, do you actually know the reason you are here? You've been here for a long time, but have you forgotten the reason that you are here? Sometimes people come into a house of mercy, but they forget the reason why they are there. They've been coming for a long time, and they forget the reason for why they are there. Do you know the reason why you are here? What the Lord was asking is, son, you have been lying under this porch. There were 5 porches there. Lot of shade. Lot of shade. And 5 porches and lot of people disabled lying around. And this man so got used to just lying down there that he didn't want to actually believe that God could do something for him. He had just got used to that atmosphere of mercy. Just seeing the water stir up. Once in a while he sees the anointing move through. Maybe next time it is my turn, somebody will help me through. 38 years passed by, nobody's helped him through. Do you know the reason why you are here? Some people go into a house of mercy and they forget why they are there. It's like Lot's daughters. See, in Sodom and Gomorrah, in the book of Genesis chapter 19, God sent an angel through the intercession of Abraham to rescue Lot from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The angel came there and is bringing Lot and his wife and his 2 daughters out. He's bringing them out. And they're out of the place of destruction. But the angel says one thing, don't turn back. God set you free from bondage, don't turn back to it again. Don't look to your old life and say, listen, I did not know about it. Maybe I should think about going back there. Don't turn back. The Lord is bringing them out. And God miraculously through the intercession of Abraham is bringing them out. Just come through. But in between, Lot's wife looks back. And right there she is frozen. But the 2 daughters are more spiritual. They don't look back. They come out of destruction and they go into this place called Sor, S-Z-O-A-R, Genesis 19 when you read that. And there, they are in a cave. And suddenly Lot's daughters are lusting for their own father. They came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, which God destroyed because of lust and sin of the flesh. But they forgot why God had brought them through. And even when they came to this place of mercy that God had shown them, still Sodom and Gomorrah had not left them. Some of you need to wonder why you are here this afternoon. That's what Jesus was asking. Why are you here? Do you know why you are here? Why are you here? That's what God was asking. Do you want to get well? Or are you just happy just with the shade? Once in a while seeing the anointing move, the angel of God stirring up something in the friend. Praise God, somebody else has got a testimony. Somebody else is sharing something powerful. Praise God for that. But here I am lying back and looking at that. I forget why I am here. How many of you are with me today, please? Jesus asked, do you want to get well? What the Lord was asking was, more than ever before, 38 years, you had small desire to be well. You're waiting for somebody to help you through. All they could have done was take you to the waters. But I myself should be the one who heals you. People can help you to a certain stage, but it is only God who can set you free. People can show you the way through the word, but it is only Jesus who can take you to heaven. Somebody can speak to you about the forgiveness that's there through the blood of Jesus, but it's only the blood of Jesus that can heal you and forgive you and cleanse you. Somebody can speak about the anointing of God, but you need that anointing. Only God can give that to you. Don't look for people to help you through. Let your focus be where it has to be. The Lord was asking them, do you desire more than any other time in your life to be made whole? പരിപൂർണ വിടുതൽ പ്രാപിക്കാൻ നീ പരിപൂർണമായിട്ടും ആഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നു. You desire it. Desire it. What the Lord was meaning was, or are you here just playing games? Are you here just playing games? Are you here just for the fun of it? Just playing games? Just being in a house of mercy? Getting used to the fact there are other people with, some people get a lot of peace out of just seeing somebody else also suffer like that. Just seeing somebody else also lying next to you disabled. Praise God, I'm not alone in this. Somebody else has also got the same problem. But that's not the solution to the problem, brother. Hallelujah. I have a God who can set you free. I have a God who can bring you through. I have a God who can take you through. Hallelujah. Do you desire more than any other time to be made whole? I don't know what you're going through, but we're having this fasting and prayer. And I believe Jesus desires that you be made whole today. Don't wait for another day. Right now. See, they thought, this man thought, the Lord would just help him, carry him, walk with him, and dip him in that water. But the Lord didn't do that. Some of you are waiting, you got your mind focused. If this brother can come and just lay his hand upon me, I'm from the praise God. If he's given me a prophecy telling me I'm called, then I'm called. They're looking for a channel through which to realize their blessing. But the Lord had his own way. He said, he commanded, take up your mat. Just one word. Take up your mat. See, this man could have sat there and reasoned. Sometimes that's exactly the place where the devil gets you. This man could have reasoned out that word. 38 years lying here. And he did not know it was Jesus even who was speaking to him at that time. When you read that passage of scripture, he could have said, 38 years, doesn't this man understand my problem? Doesn't this man understand my problem? 38 years I'm lying in this mat and he's just telling me, come on, get up, take up your mat and go. If it was that easy, I would have done it long time back. That is why this one word, believe, is mentioned again and 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 again in the scripture. Believe. Charles Spurgeon, a great man of God, he was once riding through in a cold night and suddenly it started to rain and snow and he began to get wet. So he looked for a place where he could just keep himself warm. He saw a little fire somewhere, a little light. He walked into a barn and there was a small prayer going on there. He stood there at a cymbal, minor. A minor stood there and was preaching. And the text that he was preaching was from Isaiah 45 and verse 22. And the word says there, Isaiah 45 and verse 22 says, look to me and be saved. Look to me and be saved. That was the word. And this miner was not even a good preacher, Spurgeon says. This man was stammering. This man said, Jesus said, look to me and be saved. The miner said something. Any fool can do it. You don't need to be wise to look to Jesus. You don't need to be rich to look to Jesus. You don't need to come from a good family to look to Jesus. Anyone can. Look to me and be saved. Hearing that, Spurgeon says, how can I reject the salvation which God has made it so simple? How can I reject a salvation that God has made so simple. He said, Jesus, today I look to you. I believe you took my place on Calvary's cross. I believe you died for me. I believe you became a curse that I might walk under a blessing. I do not understand it all, but I believe you have done that. I believe you became sickness that I might be health. You became poor that I might be rich. You took my shame that I might have honor. I believe it. Jesus came into his heart. My brother, my sister, the Lord's word was, take up your mat. No room for reason. No room to study the case. No room to study about healing. One word, take up your mat. Till now this mat was carrying you, but from now on you will carry this mat. Hallelujah, praise God. If you look to Jesus today, will you hear his word today? Don't wait for somebody to just stir up something that you can walk into a blessing. Look to Jesus. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, look to Jesus. Take a mat. Take up your mat and go home. I do not know what your problem is, but the Holy Spirit of God is going to lift up Jesus in this place today. And his word has already come into your heart. Today, you can just walk out of your problem today by looking at Jesus. Yeshuvilekku nokkiyavar aarum. Amen. What does it say? Lechichu poyilla. Amen. Lechichu poyilla. Avarude mugam agatte prakashichu. Amen. Psalms 34 and verse 5. Avane nokki ellarude mugam prakashichu. Amen. That is the Holy Spirit ministry. He will lift up Jesus and show you and say, son, you have been in this house of mercy. But today it is time for you to look to Jesus. Don't forget the reason you are here. I've got a good word for you from God. He who believes in the Son of God has life everlasting. Just not temporary. Overflow of life everlasting. Amen. Look to Jesus. Take up your mat and bed and walk. You've never done that for 38 years. Can you imagine? Oh, what a joy that is. He did not even know Jesus, but he took up his mat and walked. Some of you have heard the word and been fools to believe the word of God, and God is making you walk. I stepped out for the Lord that way. I did not even know the one who had called me. All I knew was the word. I knew you while you were in your mother's womb. And I formed you and set you apart to be a prophet unto the nations. That is all I knew. But that word was so commanding. That word was so commanding. When circumstances seemed contrary, I couldn't even preach, I couldn't sing, I couldn't even sing to save my life. I could do nothing but that word. I believed. It was only after some time that I understood it was Jesus who had called me. Today I do not know where you are, but I know one thing, the same word of command is coming to you. Will you take up your mat today and walk? Amen. Will you take up your mat today and walk? Or are you going to look for an angel to stir up the waters? I'm not looking for an angel to stir up the waters. I'm looking to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Today I wanted to stand up in the presence of God. Don't forget why you're here. I want you to look to Jesus and call on Him from your heart. He's faithful to hear you. Call on Him from your heart. Let the presence of God come upon you.
Thank you, Lord.